السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. I was listening to one majlis of Hazrat Dr. Ismail Mangera Sahib, and in this majlis he was discussing the malfuzat of Hazrat Jumanu Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So one of the things he mentioned there is the virtue of ilm, how important ilm is, knowledge. Knowledge is not just the words. For example, if I am learning tajweed, so the ustad makes me memorize the makharij, jofe fam, emptiness of the mouth, which letters come out from there, bahatit. Some nahwa qawaid, so now I just memorize it. Parrot fashion, I memorized it. If we're having examination, Ustad has to test me 100 out of 100. No problem. I memorized everything. He just needs to ask me this makhraj, that sifat, this, that, shiddat, rikhwat, everything. I passed. Yeah. But I don't ever apply those laws. I don't ever read with tajweed. I don't apply those laws. The only time I think of applying it is when they give me imamat. They give me imamat. Now I'm reading like Qari Sahib now, right? Proper Qiraat. I'm reading slower than how I'm supposed to read. I'm performing namaz, faraz namaz. I'm reading so slow for what? I'm not supposed to be reading at a tartil pace. I'm supposed to be reading more at a tadweer pace. I'm reading so slow. But when I'm reading on my own, then I make hadar also look slow. So fast I'm reading, right? So, I'm not applying all that tajweed. So when we talk about ilm, we're talking about ilm where I'm now applying. I studied some ahadith. Now, those ahadith have I brought them into my life? Has some change come about? I'm studying Quran Sharif, doing some tafsir, I'm reading about Yusuf alayhi salam, I'm reading, you know, this morning, because that our tafsir lesson is very short, right? It's not a lesson, it's just we're reading from the tafsir kitab. But yesterday, a person, he's a Hafizul Quran. His name is also Yusuf. Okay? So this Yusuf, he phoned me and he's telling me, Maulana, I got a problem. I have found out that a person in my business, who is a Muslim person, very respectable person in the community, person that I'm very close with, trust him in my business, but I found out that he's been putting his hand in the cookie jar. You know what that means? It means he's getting wrong fingers, stealing. So he says, I'm feeling so difficult to even address this thing with the person. So I've got so much muhabbat for him, so much respect for him, that I don't even know how I'm going to address this thing with him. So I told him, see, you have to address it, as difficult as it is, you're going to have to address it with him. So to cut the long story short, the person then was exposed, right, in a closed shop meeting. Right. He himself after that, you know, he owned up, he confessed to everything and whatever. So this Yusuf tells me, he says, Maulana, this person he has confessed, but no, I want to keep his izzat. I want to keep his izzat. He's a person who's known in the community and all that. I don't want that now he must get embarrassed. So if I'm going to fire him from the business, he's with me so long. If I'm going to fire him, automatically people are going to know dal mein kuch kala hai, right? Something not right. So other people in the business, important people in the business, they're telling me, just send him. So, but I'm feeling I don't want to do that. I must give him a second chance. Anybody can make a mistake. So there's a moment of weakness. He did something wrong. Anybody can do something wrong. So I'm feeling I want to forgive him. Allah Ta'ala forgive me. I know I've got to take my precautions. So maybe I can't have him in the same position that he was. I've got to now shift him to some other position. But I want to give him another chance. So this morning, when we're reading the tafsir of Yusuf alayhi salam, I'm thinking to myself that this person is being a true Yusuf. He's being a true Yusuf. How Yusuf alayhi salam said, La tasrib alaykum al-yawm yaghfiru Allah lakum. So now he's adopting the similar thing. Obviously, you can't be like a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, but he's taking the same road. Now, never mind, this man, he wronged me or whatever, but let me forgive. Let me forgive. So when we are studying, then are we studying like this? Are we studying like this, that now I learned this in the Hadith Sharif, I learned this in the Quran Sharif, I read this in that kitab. How am I improving my life now? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taghdar, then I mustn't get angry. In other words, for wrong reasons, I mustn't get angry. Now, am I still getting angry for wrong reasons? If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took revenge for his personal self, so now I'm making amal on the sunnat of the topi, I'm making amal on the sunnat of the amama, I'm wearing kurta, I got tasbih in my pocket, I use itar, I put surma, I'm wearing moza, pants above my ankle, all these sunnats, I'm beautifying myself with all these sunnats. Right? But now, this sunnat of not taking revenge for my personal self, am I making amal on this sunnat now? So many things, while we're studying, we must ask ourselves that, am I studying? Studying is like mining. Everything you learn is like your lost diamond, your lost gold, your lost silver. So if you lost your gold, and now you find it, so what you going to do? Lose it again. If you lost your money, right? Say you lost your money. You can't find your wallet. You lost your money. On top of it, you can't come complain to me because I'm going to tell you, very good. Why you brought it? Not supposed to have it. Okay? So you can't come tell me now. So now you lost the thing. Now you pareshan. Your ID card is inside there. Just now they'll take you for a foreigner. They throw you out of the country, your smart ID is not there. Your money is there, your bank card is there, everything is inside there, and now your wallet is lost, now you can't find it. First you thought your room boys are messing around with you. But now you're seeing it, 2-3 days gone, nobody is owning up, nothing, now this is becoming serious now, I don't know where my wallet is. And then you shifting 1-2 things this way, that way, and then you find it behind your bed, lodged between your bag or something. So how happy you'll get back? So when you see it there, what you gonna do? When you spot your wallet there, what you do? Arey yaar, kya karega? What you gonna do? What will you leave it there? What's the first thing you're going to do when you see that wallet there? You're going to pick the thing up, eh? Immediately you'll pick it up. You pick it up. Now once you have picked it up, you'll check it up. You'll check it up. Hey, Alhamdulillah, everything is intact. Everything is here. Pir. Put in a very safe place now, right? More safer than before. So you got to follow the same tartib. You found some knowledge, you pick it up. Once you pick it up, you authenticate. It's authentic, everything is fine. Now put it very safely in my amal bag. In my bag of amal, I must put it there. And if I can't practice on it immediately, but I must have it in my bag. You know, like some people, they got about 5 different knives. You go to the ladies' kitchens, they'll put you away. They've got about 10, 12 different ones. No, this one here is for butter. That one is for steak. That one is for mutton. That one is for chopping the meat. This one is for cake. This one, for every different function. You say, but now, when are you going to use it? No, you never know when the need may arise, isn't it? And the men, you go to the garage. The ladies will say, he just hoards junk. He hoards junk. The ladies, they'll complain. Say, the man, he just hoards junk. Right? He got, if he's a handyman, he got so many different nut and bolt, screw, this size nail, that size, this, that size. So, pay, what are you doing with all of this? one day, tam mein aayega. You know what I mean? One day I'll need it. One day it will come in handy somewhere. Right? So you must be like that with your ilm. If you can't make amal on it now, for example, you're learning the zakat masail, you can't practice on it today, you don't have zakatable wealth. So no problem. But I must learn all these masail properly. Kaam mein aayega. Tomorrow somebody is going to come ask me a masla, I must be able to help them. Tomorrow I got zakatable wealth, I must know the masail, how to pay my zakat. So this is a talib ilm. He's a seeker, he's seeking. Right? Once he finds, he doesn't let go. Once he finds, now he takes possession, right? He keeps it, he makes amal on it, he saves, keeps it very, very safe. Right? So this all came by the way. This wasn't in that majlis now. To the barakat of that majlis, all this explanation came. What Hazratji was mentioning, what Dr. Saab mentioned, one incident of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmatullah Ali. That he was traveling. And Dr. Saab mentioned that Hazratji Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that the Akabirin in the past, they used to undertake lot of suffer. Obviously for the sake of deen. Right? And one of the reasons they used to undertake suffer is to keep their nafs in kabu. How? You go through a process of islah, right? So now with the help of Allah Ta'ala and the barakat of your sheikh, you have trained the nafs. You train the nafs. But you can remain trained for as long as you are in a familiar environment. Yeah? You come home, They know how you like your meals. You're using a type of pillow that you used to, your bathroom, everything you used to eat, you're in your comfort zone. So in that comfort zone, you are managing to have good akhlaq, you are managing not to get angry, you are managing to be respectful, you're managing to be generous, everything you're managing in your comfort zone. Now when you go and suffer, now everything is, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about suffer, as-safaru qita'atun min al-azab, isn't it? That suffer is a piece of punishment. Why? Yamna'u ahadakum nawmahu wa ta'amahu wa sharabahu, isn't it? Now your sleeping pattern is all gone off. Foods now, different kind of foods you're going to get. I told you all that story. How you know I didn't tell you? You don't know which story I'm going to tell you. You see, he's a tawdib. He said, never mind, even if you told us, tell us again. I'll just say no. So, I went to one place called Zanin. You know where is that? Zanin, you know? Zanin is, those days used to be called Northern Transvaal. I don't know now what it's called. It's right on the top. So, it was Ramadan time, we went to read Taraweeh day, you know. So, now when you go to read Taraweeh, now every day they'll take you to a different house for iftar, you know. So one house I went, I think it was one of the first nights, went to the house, see lovely bhajia, you know. So that day I learned why in the shops they have a bhajia mix. They call it chili bites. So that day I learned the tashri of that chili bites. Why it's called chili bites. So I saw a lovely bhajia here. I took the bhajia. You people know what's bhajia. Today's children, they don't know all the normal things. They all other names they got for savouries. So I took the bhajia. And my adat, savory I must have with chutney. I can't eat savory without chutney. It's my weakness. Some people can eat. I must have chutney. You know, chutney don't give me savory, right? It's lazim malzum. Lazim malzum. No? So I took the bhajia, dipped in the chutney, and took a bite. I needed fire extinguisher. Because every bhajia had a green chili inside. Full chili. Some people eat very hot food. Eat hot food. So that day I learned what is chili bite. The rest of the meal I had milkshake. Lucky they had milkshake there. So I was just drinking the milkshake. So I don't know why we spoke about that. Why? When you're traveling, everything goes off, isn't it? You're not going to get the same bed you got at home. Sometimes you want water, there's no water. Sometimes food is cooked differently. Sometimes there's no food. So everything goes off. And then you're going to associate with all different kind of people. Right? Everybody got their own adat, different habits, everything. So now, in that environment, can I maintain my akhlaq, my sabr, not get angry, don't become impatient, still be good, still be considerate, everything. So that was one of the reasons they used to make safar. And obviously by them making safar, then they used to take the word of Allah Ta'ala to so many people, connect so many people with Allah Ta'ala. So Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jainani Rahmatullah Ali, he was traveling. And he was going through a desert. And now he had no water. And he was extremely thirsty. It's hot, extremely thirsty. He's got no pani. So he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. Making dua that Allah provide me with water. So next thing, he sees like a body appearing. But not clear. And this, from this body, water is being extended towards him. Like a hand extending water towards him. And addressing him, that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, here's water for you." Now, by, had it been us, this will go on our Facebook, our Instagram, our TikTok, our everything. My whole world must know, "Mera kya maqam hai." Look at how ponchero I am. And this made dua. Just look at what the means Allah made for me. So, Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, he looked up, he looked at this glass, and the effect of that water can be seen on the glass, that it's cold. No, you put ice inside. But he looks at this glass, and this glass is made of chandni. Chandni kya hai, Shafi? Silver. Pure silver glass. So he says, "Hey Allah, this glass is silver. And to use silver utensils in this alam, in this world here, you have prohibited it? So how come you giving me in a silver glass? So must be this is shaitan." And then he read, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." So when he read, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah," so immediately that image vanished. It was a delusion of the devil. So shaitan now had to run away. So as shaitan was leaving, shaitan made a statement. He said, "Hey Abdul Qadir, your knowledge saved you. Your ilm, your knowledge saved you." Now if a person doesn't know that to drink from a silver utensil is haram, etc., you would have taken and you would have went for it, isn't it? So shaitan told him that your knowledge saved you. So this is the maqam of ilm, having knowledge. But now when you got gehri knowledge, see, when you sort your batin and your zahir, a person who got no knowledge, he was just memorizing, he'll just take the thing and drink. A person who was learning, not just memorizing, so he'll know that it's not permissible for me to drink from that silver glass. But the person who has cleansed his batin, right? Now, as shaitan is going, shaitan is telling him that, "Oh Abdul Qadir, today your knowledge saved you." So he replied to shaitan. He said, "You khabir, as you going also, you shooting an arrow at me. While you leaving also, you shooting an arrow at me." He said, "My knowledge never saved me. Allah Ta'ala saved me." He regarded it shirk. He regarded it shirk. In other words, my gaze would have shifted from Allah Ta'ala and went on to my knowledge. That is a type of a shirk in his eyes. And my gaze must be on Allah and Allah alone. So this ilm is very, very important, what you are studying. But don't just study like a parrot to pass a paper. You study to bring into our life. Every year, with the students who are doing a dadia or gap year, and then the girls madrasa, the first year students. So we do the tafsir of the last surahs of the Quran Sharif, from Wad Duha till Surah An-Nas, and then few other surahs. So every year we come to Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, with the help of Allah Ta'ala. And every year I teach them this fazilat. That is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Huzuri Aqdas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to a Sahabi. The Sahabi was in a bit of, you know, difficult conditions, financially, etc. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him this to read. That you read Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Iza Ja, you leave out Tabbat Yada. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, leave out Tabbat Yada. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only said, you read the last five surahs. But if you count from Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun to the end is six surahs. But the ulama explained that it's minus Tabbat Yada. So all the other surahs, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Iza Ja, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. So you read these five surahs. Bismillah in the beginning and Bismillah in the end. So in Ma'riful Quran, it's written something like that. And most of the time when I'm teaching, I'm reading from Ma'riful Quran. So in my naqis understanding, I always understood it to be that you read Bismillah at the beginning and the ending of each surah. When I read Ma'riful Quran, so that's the understanding that came to my mind. That you read Bismillah in the beginning and the end of each surah. So I don't know how many years I'm telling the students that. I don't know how many are making amal, but you're teaching that to the students. So this year also, I taught the same thing and said the same thing. So one Apa sent me a message. So now I'm just querying this thing, because I read in Sublime Conduct, the same hadith comes there, but it is six bismillahs, not ten. You read Bismillah in the beginning, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, then like normal you read Bismillah in the beginning of each surah, and then when you finish Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, then you read a sixth Bismillah. So I checked up the Ma'riful Quran. So there is not very clear. It doesn't tell you six, and it's just saying Bismillah in the beginning, Bismillah in the end. So I'm thinking end of each surah. So then I asked Maulana Ahmad, I said, just check the riwayat up. Check up the source, how it's written in the riwayat. So Maulana checked up few, and he told me, no, it's six, not ten, six Bismillahs. So then I informed it. Apa, then I thanked her, Jazakallah, for bringing to my attention. Every year I'm teaching it wrong to the students. So any of you that I taught this to, must remember it's six, and the girls' madrasa also, remember it is six Bismillahs. So it's, you start reading Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, you read Ta'awuz Tasmiyah, and then you read all five surahs. And after Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas, you read Bismillah again. Right? Last week, I was trying to do the lesson while traveling, but I believe after about 15 minutes it cut. So we were speaking about, our Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Haq Magda Sahib was speaking about husband not making zulam on his wife. That was, the majlis was more about that. But in that majlis, Hazrat also spoke about the disobedience to parents. What a big guna it is. And if a person is disobedient to parents, he will be punished in the dunya. In the dunya also he will get punishment. In the akhirat also he will get punishment. So few incidents that you'll heard, Right? A few incidents we mentioned. You all heard those incidents. And then I think where it got cut off was at the point where I was saying that there are two reasons why we don't show good akhlaq. So the first reason we spoke about was a lack of humility. Right? So when there is a lack of humility, then obviously there will be ujub, takabbur. Right? There's ujub and takabbur. When there's a lack of humility, you can't have nothing. Right? You can't have nothing. The container going to get filled with something. If you put shiddat in the letter, you can't put rikhwat. Understand? You can't have the sifat can't be hard and soft. So if you're going to put sugar in the tea going to be sweet. You're going to put salt in the tea, this tea going to be salty. It's not going to be sweet. And if you don't put anything in the tea, then the tea going to be bitter. But some people drink without sugar. But something must go inside there. Something must go. So, once there's no tawadu, then the thing that will be there is ujub. Ujub can retrogress to become pride. You don't say progress. Because it's a retrogression, isn't it? So it gets worse. It becomes pride. Right? And pride, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Kibru Ridai. That's my shawl. So a person who got pride, now he's trying to snatch the shawl of Allah. Now where is he going to manage to do that now? When we have ujub and takabbur, then obviously we then don't have ri'ayat. Don't have consideration. Because life is all about me. Right? Life is about me. I'm driving how I feel like driving. If other drivers are inconvenienced, that's their problem. We having a get-together, yeah, we making noise till late night, long as we are enjoying ourselves. Neighbors are getting disturbed, that's their problem. I come in a masjid, every time I got my cell phone on, one musical tone is ringing. Now, one side I got a musical tone, right? It happened one time. I must make tawbah, make istighfar. The least I can do, I'm a very forgetful fellow, don't put my phone off. The least I can do is change the tone. But that too I don't do. That too I don't do. Why? Because I don't want to talk bad language, you know. But what they say, two, then there's a four-letter word. Starts with the H, ends with the L. You play hangman, right? So you all figure out the other two. Okay, so the person say, two in his attitude, two, that four-letter word, with everybody else. Long as I'm doing my thing. How I park my car, I don't care. So I just don't care how I speak, what I do, I don't care. Why? Because I got no humility. If I'm humble, I will worry about people's feelings. Right? So that is the one reason that we can't show good akhlaq. Right? You see, if I am doing something that is hurting my parents, whether it's joining a bad company, whether it's a habit, whether it's my behavior, my attitude, whatever, right? And I'm carrying on like that. I'm just carrying on like that. So what it shows? So I'm not worried about their heart. I'm not worried about their heart. Right? Now if somebody tries to talk to us, no, but they did this to me. They did this to me. They did that to me. By the two things they did to you, two things they did to you, which they may have done for your own good, but now you becoming modisab, so you check in the kitabs of fiqh, according to the fiqh, they are wrong, what they did. I even found out from my friend who's studying iftar. I got a ruling from him too. He too said that was not their right to do that. But it was your right to make mutar on your mother's lap after she got ready to go for her sister's walima. That was your right. You don't even know about it. It was your right to spew in your father's car after he just came from the car wash. Then he didn't start fighting with you, throw you out of the car. They tolerated all of that. All your tantrums you threw when you were small, even as you growing up, even as a baligh person. But all of a sudden when it comes to them, we want the rule book. And then no. So they wrong? Okay. So even if they wrong, even if they erred, even if they did wrong, usme kya? Who they are? They are your parents? But now you carrying on in a manner, you behaving in a manner, you're hurting their feelings. And you're just carrying on like that. That is pride. Very high level of pride. Very high level of pride. You're not worried about the parents' heart. You can walk with your nose touching your chest. You know? God of thoughts. But you're not worried about their heart. You're full of pride. You can't be bothered. One is from your side, you trying everything. From your side, you ask maafi, you trying to be good. Maybe you did something wrong. Father is upset with you over something, whatever. From your side, you trying. So you trying from your side, but the father is very upset. Each time you trying to do something, kamojil bahar. Another way he's coming. Even you trying to do something right, you collecting it again. No problem. You carry on trying. You carry on trying. You don't stop trying. Because they are the parents end of the day. They are your jannat. So we got to continue, no matter what. So this is the one thing, is a lack of humility. When I don't have humility, I don't have riayat. So I don't care about how you feel. Two, that four-letter word, with you. Long as my thing is sorted out. Right? I jumped in the aeroplane, I'm not bothered how much hand luggage I'm carrying. Right? Now, the next person got no place to put their hand luggage. Because I came with 3-4 pass. I'm only supposed to have a 7 kg bag, a certain size bag. So I must go with that. I'm not telling you people out of pride. I'm telling you people how to, you have to make amal. Right? Now, when I went to Rustenburg, so I didn't book any big bag. Right? I only just paid the base fare for the ticket, so they allow you one hand luggage. Now you're going for 2 days, how much things you need now? No fit in the hand luggage. So we went. Now when we're coming back, out of happiness, somebody from there, they give me one big parcel. Now, this thing is not 7 kgs now. I got my hand luggage and this parcel is not 7 kgs, right? And now it's going to be 2 things. Now you can put it on the handle of your bag and carry on and all that. But I, at that time, maybe Allah Pak made me think of our Hazrat Mohammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He wouldn't have done something like that. So I said, no man, I can't take this thing. So Hafiz Masood, you know, Hafiz Masood, when I landed, he brought for me, his father's car. Got the family. So Maulana Musa got one car there in Joburg, because he goes Joburg so often, so he got one vehicle there for himself. So he told me, Maulana, nobody's using the car, don't get another vehicle, don't travel those Rustenburg people to come fetch you and all that. I'll send Hafiz Masood with the car. Then you use the car, and on Saturday when you're returning, he'll come and take the car from you. So we made that arrangement, right? And I wanted to drive that car also, because Maulana told me it's a very nice car, you can consider this car for yourself if you want to buy a car. So I said, oh, it'll be a good chance to try it out, you know. So Abid Masood came to now fetch the car. So I gave him that parcel. I told him, I said, Abid Masood, courier this parcel to me. I'm not going to take it in the aeroplane. You courier it to me. But if I'm going to take it and go, now am I not taking somebody else's space there? I don't have any checked-in luggage. So now I can't go put this thing in checked-in. I didn't pay for checked-in luggage. And if I'm going to take this thing and go on aeroplane, then I'm taking somebody else's space. I know if I get on aeroplane and on top of my head that luggage compartment that's there for your hand luggage, if somebody else, I mean the three seats are empty, but the luggage compartment is full. It irritates. Right? So now just as you get irritated, you're going to be irritating somebody else. So why must do it? Have consideration for the next person. Right? Don't do it. Even you don't know who the next person is. But don't do it. Something that's going to give somebody else a taklif. Now we don't know how many times we are giving people taklif with our actions. We don't know. But the times that we can think about it, then try to avoid it. The second reason that we fail to show good akhlaq is ghaflat. Ghaflat. The person in himself is not a proud person. It's not ujub and it's not pride. It's just he's in a ghaflat. He's in ghaflat. He is heedless. Not headless. Heedless. He's heedless of what he's doing. So he just, he come in, you go in a room there now, take out your jacket, throw it there. Now you're leaving, take out another jacket, wear it. You're not thinking, well, I threw one jacket here, you pick that jacket up, hang it up. If I'm not going to wear that jacket now, I wore that jacket Fajr time, I needed one. Jas, because I'm in Albert Falls, right? So I needed one very thick jacket. But now, as the sun comes up, I don't need that so thick jacket. So now I need something lighter. So I take that thick jacket and hang it up. And take the other one out and wear it. Right? But now I threw that one there, came back, took the other one out, threw that one. Now I got 2-3 jackets lying around. Now who's going to pick up after me now? Right? I'm making the place untidy. Why? Not because I don't have the ayat, but because I'm in ghaflat. And one of the things that's causing a lot of ghaflat today is a phone. Everybody's head is in the phone. So, you're so busy. Right? You're so busy in the phone, but we're not conscious of what effect our actions are having to people around us. So, both these things, the second one may be a bit of a lighter than the first one. Right? The first one is terrible. If it is that we just don't care, we got to air about ourselves, you know, that we are somebody. Right? So I just worry about my comfort, myself, as long as I'm sorted out, no problem. And the other one is a ghaflat, that I'm just Now, you know, you're friends together, you're sitting in an aeroplane, you're talking loud. You're disturbing other people. Now, you're not doing it because you want to disturb them, but now you're in a ghaflat. You're just chirping, very, very chirpy, talking, carrying on. You're sitting in a classroom, the ustad didn't arrive. Ne? Now you're becoming very chirpy now. Now you're not understanding that you may be giving the next door class taklif. Next door class, the ustad may be trying to teach. Your volume is going away there. Your voices are going away next door. So we are causing taklif. The ustad, he may have got caught up with something. Maybe he came out of his class, he forgot one kitab, or a colleague stopped him to ask him something, so now he's 1-2 minutes late. Now you're rowdy in the class, right? Listen to this, listen properly. You're rowdy in the class. The principal walks past your class. Now, who's supposed to be here? Tomorrow so and so. Now what should be in the principal's mind now? The ustad, supposed to be here in the class, is not here. Class is running amok. But it's not the ustad's fault. Now if you were using the time correctly, you are quiet, using the time correctly, the principal won't get upset. He may go past, he may think, no, ustad is coming or whatever. But if you are being rowdy, obviously he's going to get upset. Now who is going to point that anger to? The ustad? Who caused the problem? You. Because you're in a ghaflat. You wouldn't want to harm the ustad. You love the ustad. You want to go carry his shoes and his kitab, and if you can help people, carry him from the house and bring him and everything. So much khidmat you all want to make. So much muhabbat you all got. Allah increase it for his pleasure. So you won't want to cause harm to your ustad, but your ghaflat got your ustad in trouble. You just start talking, that's what you're shouting from, cross-country communication, that end of the class, this one is talking, that one, this one is shouting, that one. Now your action is the action of ghaflat, but you got your ustad in trouble. Understand? One man got his wife in trouble, You'll know the story. One time, this foreigner thing is not from today. Many, many years ago, they started the story that if you know, that time there were very few illegal immigrants in the country. So they started the story that if you know of any illegal person in the country, that time they used to have one program on TV. It was called Police File. Not permissible to watch, haram. I'm just telling you what happened, the incident. So Police File now, whatever crime was happening, so they used to show it on the TV and they'll give a picture of the person's face, a sketch of the face. So if anybody got in any information, they must tell the cops. So they'll have the phone number there of the investigating officer. So they must phone him and give him if you know got any information. So this person, he was a little mazur man. So his family, they decided to see, we rather bring one bichari from the dam, from the village, from India, right? The poor person, whatever, from some family person. Bring her here, get him married to this fellow, and she can look after him. But this fellow wasn't 100%, He was... So they brought that lady and said, now, got her married to him, now you make his khidmat and carry on. So you'll also be sorted out. You got a house to stay, money, everything sorted out. People sometimes think money is everything, Now you just sit and look after this mazur man here in the house. So he, bichara, he was watching the police fight. Then he saw over there, the illegal immigrant, you get a reward if you report the illegal immigrant you get a reward. So he phoned the police and he reported his wife. Allah Ta'ala protect. Said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.